B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
Skull! 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 Yeah, Vikings, baby! What a weekend! Oh, my goodness gracious. Good morning and welcome in, everybody. Here on 97.5, the Fanatic, Farzetta and Trey. Welcome in on Twitch. We got Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynn, Sam Wilson. Oh, it was just a spectacular weekend. Minus that, like, fourth quarter thing with the Sixers. But other than that, what an amazing weekend. And the Sixers almost blew one again last night. But what an amazing weekend we had, ladies and gentlemen. And it was a little cherry on top. The Minnesota Vikings. They go out there and take care of business against the Cowboys last night. They're 5-4. And the rest of their schedule kind of sucks to be them, so that's a shame. But the Eagles' schedule gets just a little bit easier. They face about four teams with at most two wins on the season. I feel pretty good about the Eagles' chances of making that that postseason there. Here's the double whammy for that game last night. Well, I guess double positive, I guess you could say. The Eagles could have been helped in the wild card standings if the Vikings lost. But they could have been helped in the divisional standings if the Cowboys lost. Yeah, I'd rather go with the one where you win the division. I like that one.
Yeah.
That one's better to me.
Yeah.
And the Cowboys lose, and we get to dance on the grave of the Cowboys. I'll take that. I'll take that all day. And it was a fine little victory by those Minnesota Vikings last night. And just a stupid play to not return that football at all on the punt from the Cowboys. You didn't think all the, like, even Al Michaels and Chris Collins were like, you know, he's got, like, plenty of room there. Why doesn't he run?
Ridiculous.
And they did it. They fair caught it because they didn't want to waste any more time. They would have at least gotten 10, 15 more yards out of that on the return. And then next thing you know, you're already in the position to throw a shot into the end zone. You try to work for a little bit more. Wasn't the case. I ain't crying for them. I'm dancing on their grave, as I said. Schedule gets really difficult for them from here on out. Eagles, not so much. Get through these two games. At least split. Please split. And you'll go on. You'll win the division. That's just that simple.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the positivity. There's a little note, more note of positivity here. The Flyers are really good at that hockey.
Oh, shootouts? They mastered them. I've always said the Flyers are the best team in the NHL at shootouts.
Really?
Always said it.
That's okay.
Never once doubted
that,
it.
That's the second most Jamie thing you've said this morning. The most Jamie thing you've said this morning that I heard in the 5 o'clock hour, we'll get to in a second. But the Flyers are really good at the shootouts and they're winning the shootouts.
Always have been, Mark.
And Claude Giroux, oh my God, bless you, brother. That laser you put on the Maple Leafs was nothing short of spectacular in that shootout. Trey, you put any money on those fine Flyers over the weekend?
No, I did not.
No money on the Flyers? You didn't do that hockey?
No, I did not.
Oh, well, they did that hockey.
Yeah, they did do that hockey.
They did that hockey in the shootout, in the overtime, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
It was a great weekend. And the only negative part of this weekend was Friday.
Didn't happen. It was a figment of your imagination.
No. Friday night. I had some family in town. Okay. So I had some things I had to take care of.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I didn't watch the game in real time.
That was fun.
I was like watching the world burn on Twitter and I was like, come on, guys, it can't be that bad. and oh my God, that was terrible. It was embarrassing. Here's how bad I knew this was, Trey.
Mm-hmm.
I knew it was must-see TV when I saw one Robert Cooney tweet.
Wow.
Yes.
In a game?
It wasn't just, oh, the Sixers need to play better or something like that. It was straight fire.
Bob was tweeting during a game?
Well, I believe it's called in-game tweeting.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
I'm a big fan of it.
It was post-game. So there was thought. There was like, there was
premeditated tweet.
There was like a lot.
Yeah, there was some premeditation, buddy.
Yeah. Spicy Bobby.
Boy, I felt that tweet in my plums. And Bobby, I saw the tweet and I'm like, I can't wait to watch this game anymore. So I wake up early Saturday morning with the babe, with little Tuts, and I flick the game on. I'm feeding the baby, watching the game, and I get to the fourth quarter, and I'm like, it was a long feeding, and I'm like, oh my God, and I'm like, how is it possible? First off, there was one laugh out loud moment, because I mean, I'm seeing everybody talk about how
Joel Embiid was tired, and I'm watching him in the fourth quarter, and he's like banging down low with the Joker, right? Uh-huh. And I'm going, he's not tired. And then he gets to the foul line, and he's like airballing, and I'm like, oh, he's tired. And then I watch him not. This was two laughable things with Joel Embiid. One was he felt the game slipping away from him on Friday night, right? Mm-hmm. And he felt it slipping away from his team. And did you notice, I think it was Neto that was bringing the ball up at that point. He puts his hands, like, slow it down, like, signaling to the court, like, say, slow it down, right? And then the very next possession, he gets the ball at the top of the key with about 15 seconds left on the shot clock and airballs a three. And I'm like, okay, that's entertaining. And then there was another play where I think it was about 2 minutes left in the game. They go coast to coast, I think, on three consecutive plays. They go end to end, right?
Right.
As you would say in hockey, end to end. And I'm watching Joel Embiid run the length of the court. He gets under the basket of the Nuggets, and he's just kind of camped out there. There's a turnover, goes the other way, transition. They miss the layup, transition back the other way, and Joel Embiid is still under the basket. I don't know if I've seen that type of laziness in a long time. Laziness, exhaustion, whatever you want to call it, he wasn't there for his team when it came up late. And it is impressive of the referees, by the way, to not only miss the call, but miss another call in the process. That's just flat out impressive. And for the people that say Joel Embiid would have went to the line and at least sent an overtime, yeah, I don't know about that one.
Yeah.
Because he was gassed in that game. It was flat out impressive, Bobby.
Yeah, it was, you know, I had a friend text me after the game, and he saw me on Twitter, and I was hot. Like, I couldn't believe 35-13 to get outscored in Denver. The fact that Joel Embiid couldn't carry the team for a little bit. The fact that Kyle O'Quinn had a really, really good first half for you, and he doesn't see the floor in the second half. You're giving up 35 points, fourth game of a four-game road trip in high altitude. You're giving up 35 points in the fourth quarter, and you can't get your best defender on the court in Matisse Thybulle.
Evidently,
I don't know what the hell was going on there. Like, it just made no sense to me. Anyway, a friend tweeted me or texted me after the game saying, "You know what is up with Embiid?" And he plays a privileged game. This is my response to him: a privileged game. He doesn't hustle in the small areas of the game. He hustles only to get noticed. Now, I was hot at this point. But hear me out.
I'm hearing you. Yeah, go for it.
Like Jamie, Trey and Jamie went to the game last night, and Trey was saying that Jamie said that he and Trey were watching, and it's like he wasn't winded, meaning Embiid, but he looked tired. Uh-huh. He doesn't get winded because the hustle plays that he makes, it's diving into the stands. It's running down somebody to block a shot. It's notice me plays, notice me plays, notice me plays. It's not the hard post up. It's not the hard getting from one block to the other where it only covers 3 feet, but you have to be explosive doing that. He does it in the areas where it's a get noticed hustle. He's not hustling all the time in the areas that it's a small play, a good hustle to get up in proper position to set a pick. His picks are all half-ass. You know, like the little things, he doesn't hustle and do really well. And it's frustrating as hell, and it leads to 8 turnovers like it did on Friday night.
And that leads me, Trey, to the most Jamie Lynch thing I've ever heard.
Uh-huh.
Jamie thinks he knows the problem.
I didn't say this to Trey last night when we were sitting together, but I got home and I was like, I don't think he's like out of shape.
No, hold on. Let's just want to do that. You sit on that for just 1 second.
Yeah.
Because I want to talk about something. I mentioned the Flyers. Right, gave them their props.
Zamboners, baby. They're out.
It's almost dangerous how many are out right now. But you think there's a Trey live read happening? You know what I'm saying? There's so many out right now. But the thing with where you guys were at the game last night.
Awesome seats.
Rothman Orthopedics. Like I saw you guys tweeting and the Instagrams and all that fun stuff. Wow.
Yeah.
Those seats look incredible.
It was awesome.
We're giving away more today.
Yeah, we are.
Yes.
Jason Siegel was sitting like 5 seats over from us.
Yes.
You know, it was cool.
One of the best tweets I saw last night, and it was so stupid, but it was by a buddy of mine, Tom Dogger. He goes, he's in town shooting Forgetting Danielle Marshall. And I'm like, that's so dumb. I love it. That's just fantastic. But anyway, you guys were in the seats, and you guys were having a good time, Trey? Fun stuff?
Yeah, good time, man. Just enjoying it. Just sitting around, taking in all the atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
Game time.
Yeah, we sat with the guy, Mike Loftus, and his son. Oh, I believe he was in 6th or 7th grade. We had a great time. Yeah. It's good times.
Remember going to games? That's one wonderful time.
And his eyes, like, I was trying to put myself in his shoes watching the game, like, that close and, like, getting free, like, chicken fingers and, like, stuff. And I was just like, this kid's got to be having the best time ever.
That kid's peaked too early. Like, the rest of the life's ruined. It's like people argue against Little League World Series, getting all the attention. It's like, oh, all that hype when you're a little kid. But nonetheless, apparently, the reason Joel Embiid has been struggling and had some, you know, tough times. Jamie, go ahead. Would you mind repeating the most Jamie thing I've ever heard? I've known you like 14, 15 years. You tell me right. Please repeat the most Jamie thing I've ever heard.
I was thinking last night, I was like, did he get dumped by his girlfriend or something? He looks like a mopey ass out there. He looks like a guy that needs some bonbons and Ben and Jerry time in front of the TV.
To re-quote verbatim, what I heard was he looked like a guy who has gotten dumped.
I was trying to explain it. I don't know what else is going on with this guy.
Because it's not fatigue.
Uh-huh. He looks disinterested.
It's a mindset. This is a mindset.
He might have a broken heart, Trey.
It might be a broken heart.
I haven't seen them post anything on social media. I'm starting to get worried.
Yeah. Is his dog okay?
I hope so. Klaus.
Is his puppy okay?
Klaus, the process.
Yeah, I mean, you know, because this is a mindset. The way you watch him play. You know, it's kind of frustrating. It's like you almost... You find yourself at this point in the season where we were so excited getting ready for this team. It feels like we're right back at where we were before they brought Jimmy Butler in last year, where you were kind of like, you need that alpha. You don't have an alpha dog on here. And we were all expecting Joel Embiid to be that guy.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's not.
We asked him to take the game more serious, right? We were all like, come on, now it's time to grow up, time to be that.
He's in shape.
And that, yeah, and now it just doesn't... I said to Jamie earlier, Ben Simmons came out and said, oh, I refound my love for the game. I think he took it from Joel Embiid.
That's a great line, because he really
doesn't look like he's all that interested anymore.
Not even a little bit right now, unfortunately. I can't get over it, and I do have some news to report.
Oh, wow.
Per sources.
Big breaking news?
Yeah, per sources... they did not break up, so it's something else.
Yeah, no, I figured that wasn't it, but I had that thought last night.
She was there last night.
Oh, was she? Okay.
Yeah.
I was looking
for
her.
The beautiful,
she's stunning.
Angel face, Anna DePaula. Anna DePaula was there at the game.
I just, Friday night was weird. Me and Trey were sitting there last night in the beautiful new
Center City Club.
Center City Club, yeah, that's what it's called. It's gorgeous.
Yeah.
So we're sitting there and we're like, all right, no Ben. Coming back home off of a bad loss. You get that shot of energy from playing in front of the home crowd. Cody Zeller is his opponent. Like, we were both like, this is a Joel Embiid domination game.
Absolutely.
This is where he comes out and says, I'm an MVP of the league. I'm back home. Let's go. And it was the opposite of that after the first quarter.
Yeah, did that happen?
No.
That did not happen, unfortunately.
No, he didn't play with any jam.
There's no zipper pop either.
No.
Start playing with some jam in here. Let's go.
So that was concerning, but... Tuesday night, they have the Cavs, who I believe are just coming off a nice little win for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, got it. Let's party. But hopefully they go out and they reestablish their dominance against the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Yeah. I don't want it to sound like an overreaction, but it's certainly just a little weird.
It's extremely weird, especially when we were told. See, the most disappointing thing is that we were told before the season, this is the best shape Joel Embiid's been in. Well, he's what, 25 years old? And he gets worn out, not only just in Denver, where I know some people will throw up the altitude BS about it, but and that's a real thing. I've been altitude sick in my life. It's not a fun thing. And then he comes back home, and there's a similar type of effort there. And that's not what I like. Now, they win the game. Nice to see. Hopefully, they put two together now with the Cavaliers coming in. And hopefully, you'll be sitting there at 7 o'clock. We'll tell you how you can win those tickets. Now, we gave away those tickets again on Friday night, or Friday. We're going to give those tickets away again today. We're going to do a little Guess That Sixer coming up at 7 o'clock.
And you want to win these tickets. They're awesome.
Yeah, they are really awesome.
Courtesy of the great people, Rothman Orthopedics. We'll let you know how you can play Know That Sixer. All right, Name That Sixer coming up. We'll start releasing clues as to what Sixer we're referencing beginning at 7 o'clock. And if you have it by 9:30, guess what? You're going to win those Rothman Orthopedics tickets. Not too bad, huh?
Yeah, that's awesome. And they are really good seats because you can get in there and look in and see exactly what we're seeing. Because I'm telling you, man, that is not fatigue.
So what is that?
It's a mindset. That is a mindset. And I've seen it several times before when you can see that somebody just, it's not clicking. You don't have that aggression. You don't have that dog in you. You know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah.
It comes off as fatigue. It comes off as lazy, but that's a mindset. You're not tired. That's just you moping around. You know, I had to have the same conversation with my son in this game. Because you can see it and you can tell, like, all right, you know what? That's not fatigue. That's just because your mind is somewhere else and you just, you're playing like you're walking the green mile. And this should be something where you're enjoying yourself. You should be out there dominating the game, but instead it's like, whoa. You know, that's, and you find yourself again, who's the leader of this group?
Yeah. No, it's a legitimate question, and it's habit forming. You know, people, you talk about, I said this to you guys before, you talk about bad habits or whatever, and people don't equate it to this, but a bad habit is your team gets a rebound, starts going the other way, and your first two steps are walking.
Right.
You don't realize you're doing it. You might not, but you do it so much that it becomes a habit. He's in a really bad habit now of walking an awful lot when he's on the basketball court. And like when we talk explosion from a basketball player, many people think, oh, yeah, he dribbled from 10 feet out and took it all the way to the basket. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about like an explosive open up, you know, planting one foot, opening with your right foot, holding the defender on your back. That's an explosion. That's a good hard play within the parameters of a couple of feet. We never see that from him anymore. We haven't seen that from him so far this year. Mm-hmm. And Trey's right. When you look for a lead dog, he's not the guy walking down the floor. He's not the guy you're waiting for. He's the one that's leading you.
Yeah, because Trey and I were talking last night. I was like, yeah, like I guess he's winded. And Trey was like, look at him. He's not gasping for air. He's fine.
In game eight or whatever it is, like you're looking at the team and you're going, what?
Yeah.
Is going on here with
what just happened to that first five games?
Is it game 60? Like, how long was daylight savings? How much time did I actually miss here? That's what it seems like.
A two-game break should not knock him out of shape that much.
No, it was pretty terrible. Now, but here's the thing. Now, they're going to bounce back, and I'm sure they're going to be fine, and I'm still very confident.
Their next 10 games are fairly easy.
Yeah, they'll be fine.
They're fine.
Now the other thing here that I want to get into is obviously regarding the football team here in Philly, because the bye week is over. The bye week is donezo. So now you have the Patriots coming into town. The next two games are going to be the most difficult games you have for the remainder of the schedule. As they sit right now, 5-4, they share the same record with the Dallas Cowboys. Dallas looking a little bit better in terms of divisional wins and all that stuff, and they have the upper hand on the Eagles and that 37-10 win over the Birds a couple of weeks ago. We all know about it. But right now, as we sit here on this Monday, what direction are the Eagles going in? Because as the season winds down, it's funny to say it was 7 weeks left, but when you look past the next two games, I want people to look at how this team is going to fare over the rest of the season. Now, we talked about how they got to this point on Friday, and why aren't they a better football team? Why aren't they as good as we expect them to be? Injuries, play calling, wide receivers struggling a lot more than we thought they would. Why are the Eagles in the situation that they are? Now, the Cowboys, from this point out, face a combined record of teams that have 32 wins on the season combined from this point out. The Eagles face teams with combined wins of 27. Now, the Lions, of course, who the Cowboys face next, have one tie on their record right there. But from this point going forward, over the next seven games, what do you expect the Eagles to do? Because the Patriots are going to be a tough opponent. The Seahawks, as we all know, are going to be an extremely tough opponent. How do the Eagles fare from that point on? Because after that, they face four teams, as I mentioned earlier, that have two wins or fewer on the season. They have their two toughest games coming up right now. This is the week that starts the prep. Monday, we'll start the prep, film sessions, whatever it might be, come back from the bye, kick off whatever rust they might have, the little vacation vibes. I saw Jalen Mills was looking like at some exotic island. I think Brandon Brooks went out to San Diego, saw some guys kicking back. As predicted,
San Diego.
As predicted, Carson Wentz did post a photo with a bunch of...
A lot of dead birds.
There's a lot of dead birds. I don't know if they were geese, ducks,
too
or whatever.
Too many dead birds.
There are a lot of them. Like that's good eating, I assume? I don't know. I got nothing against hunting.
You see the way they do it? They like lay like in the field and then like,
yeah,
like stalk them and then they just shoot up and like blast all these birds at once.
Did you ever play duck hunt?
Yeah, it's basically like real life duck hunt. Seems kind of cruel.
Yeah, well, that's they're
poor birds.
They're hunters. By the way, you got to watch this show called Meat Eater on Netflix.
Yeah, you've tried to sell me on this. I'm not sure.
Oh, it's a great one. It's a great one to surprise the missus with. Yeah. Let me tell you.
I don't know if I need to see a bear field dressed. I think I'm good.
Well, I know the question with a lot of people.
You're like, watch this show. This guy just kills these animals and then he guts them and. It's beautiful.
No, how? What I said was the first 27 minutes of this like 30-minute show is like the most relaxing possible like 27 minutes you can watch on beautiful scenery.
Yeah.
You know, people whispering. Like, oh, look at
nice babbling brook.
And a bunch of babbling brooks. Like there's a damn chatter going on. And then like a bear pops his head up and it's like, is that a bear? Yeah. Take the shot. Okay. And then it's like the most graphic, horrifying stuff you could ever imagine.
Yeah, I'm good.
No, I watched it a couple times. but anyway, you have a situation coming up with the Eagles now, Trey.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say that this team, for the rest of the season, is going to be able to split these games with the Patriots and the Seahawks, and then they're going to be able to just run the table. But nothing I have seen from this football team all season tells me that this is going to be easy.
No.
So when you look at this schedule right now on this fine Monday coming back from the bye week, how do you see the Eagles faring?
I have no idea.
Seven games. See? Because we haven't seen them play anything consecutive, resembling consecutive, like good football all season long. Because,
I mean, did we feel good about the Chicago win?
No.
Yeah. So,
We didn't even feel good about a 25-point win over the Jets.
Yeah, I didn't feel good about the Jets win either because, I mean, the offense only scored 17 points.
Yeah.
So
you're not feeling tingly.
Yeah.
You're not feeling confident about the rest of the season.
I'm hoping.
It still feels like hope.
Yeah.
Seven games left. Yeah.
And I said to you guys, look, if they beat the Bears before the Bears game, they beat the Bears.
Yes.
You get healthy, you go into the bye week, you can go 7-1 in your last 8, 11-5. They beat the Bears and I didn't feel that way. you're exactly right, Trey. You beat the Bears and you came away with the same exact feeling that you and Jamie came away with, Trey, last night when you left the Sixers game. Oh.
Well, first of all, just real quick again on the Sixers, like I referenced earlier. I know their subs were in, but yeah, you almost had another fourth quarter collapse.
It was like, funny. I said to Bob, like, Al Horford like kind of started standing up and almost like walking to Brett at like 35, 40 seconds left. Like, yo, you need us? Like, it was kind of slipping away there a little bit at the end, and he was just rolling with the Trey Burks and Nettos and Matisse's, and I was like, hello? It's getting close here.
All right, so just get back to the Eagles for a minute here. You're not wrong, but getting back to, for instance, what do you see the Eagles doing the rest of the way? Bob, you have been the most confident, and they have Miami, they have New York, the Giants, Washington, Dallas again, and then they wrap up against the Giants yet again. All those teams right there, I can't get over it. Four of them have at most two wins.
Mm-hmm.
But I still feel like there's one game, as we've learned many times before this season, the NFL's weird, and they're going to lose one of those games down the stretch. I don't know which one it's going to be, but I feel like they could shock the world against the Patriots. I know what it was early line, 4.5?
3.5, 4, I saw, something like that.
So you're looking at that line early on with the Patriots. I feel like they could shock the world against the Patriots. For whatever reason, I feel like they can come up clutch against those teams, against the Patriots. And then the Seahawks coming to town after what will be an emotional week for them because they are playing the undefeated 49ers team at San Francisco. So it's a lot going on regarding what will go into the remaining seven games of the Eagles. I hope they can at least split as most of us do, but I see them at least losing two more games before the season's over.
Mm, that's tough.
It is tough.
I don't think 10-6.
I don't think it's going to be Miami.
And the only thing that matters is that Dallas game if that happens.
Yeah, because then you could win the tiebreaker.
That's the beauty of Minnesota last night.
That is. It's a gorgeous thing.
It's a beautiful. It's going to come down to the Dallas game.
The best case scenario, obviously, happened last night for Philadelphia with the Vikings being able to beat the Cowboys.
You're going to have them coming in your house in December with most likely the division on the line. You want to talk about Carson Wentz statement games? That might be the biggest, game of his career.
It seems like every time he plays the Cowboys, it's the biggest game of his career.
Dak's what, 4-1 versus them?
Dak made it to the playoffs. Dak has played full seasons. Dak has won a playoff game. He won Rookie of the Year the year they were both there, obviously. So yeah, he's got a lot to prove to himself, and I know he's got a lot to prove to his critics as well. It's going to be huge, but I see the Eagles for the remainder of the season. I 5-2. Is how I see them going. They're going to lose one of those games. I think that's it's weird when you look at it, saying that they're going to win at least five of the last seven games of the season and not feel like a homer. But I feel like I'm being real when I talk about the last four or five games of the season are against opponents that you should be able to just kick the crap out of, but they're going to lose at least one of those games.
Yeah, 5-2 makes sense.
You're confident they're going to get a split in these two?
I'm confident they'll split.
You know what the tough as nails thing is? You got New England coming off a bye, and Seattle's coming off a bye also.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's hard.
Yeah.
That's tough.
And I'll point this out, and I'll point it out all week. The last time the Eagles and the Patriots faced each other coming off a bye week, they were both coming off a bye, the Eagles won 41-33.
I remember that game.
Remember that game?
I do.
Trey, remember that game?
Mm-hmm.
Jamie, remember that game?
Yep.
So how do the Eagles fare from this point on? So we're going to focus on today. Obviously, we're going to continue to tip our cap to the Flyers. We're going to continue to hope that the Sixers get things going yet again, and we'll take it the rest of the way from there. Now, coming up, speaking of Seattle, I'll tell you what that game could mean tonight. A little Monday Night Football having Sunday Night Football implications in a couple of weeks. We'll talk about that coming up in a few here on 97.5, The Fanatic.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning. The Fanatic.
6 o'clock hour brought to you by United Rentals Power and HVAC for all your power generation and HVAC rentals in the tri-state area. Visit unitedrentals.com. Sam Wilson, let's get our Twitter poll up and running. What are we asking the fine people today?
Our Twitter poll is brought to you by Window Nation. Take advantage of Window Nation's 50% off sale on all style windows, plus make no down payment with no payments and no interest for 12 full months. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com. This morning we asked, are you confident the Eagles will win the division? We have just over 200 votes so far. 55% said no, they are not confident.
55%?
Yeah.
They know the Cowboys lost that high, right?
Yeah.
What the hell, people? What is it? Bad juju this week? Bad mojo?
A good start.
Why are the people so down?
They're all fired up.
I get that. And, yesterday, you have to acknowledge that the Eagles aren't playing, obviously, on the social media platforms, right? So I tweet out, Sixers, excuse me, no Eagles game today, but go Birds anyway. Cowboys suck. Go Sixers, go Flyers, and NBA refs are dumb, right? And then, for the vast majority of that, we had reason to celebrate all those other things that happened yesterday. Most notably, the Cowboys losing. The Flyers taking care of business again in the shootout, this time against the Bruins. And also the Sixers, to be able to get another victory. So that's good. They got off the schneid, as they say, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't get it. Why not more confidence in the Eagles right now?
Have you seen them play this year?
Yes, but...
there's your response right there.
No, but the Cowboys play have a much tougher schedule from here on out. Eagles, not a tough schedule. Next two games, okay, I get it. But the Cowboys from here on out play tough teams. I don't understand why there's no confidence in the Eagles right now. Can somebody explain this to me?
Uh-huh. No, I can't, because I think they're trending in a better direction than they have all year.
Okay.
You just got Jordan Matthews, which I know is not a big game changer.
It's an improvement.
But at least it's a guy that's willing to catch a football.
Ronald Darby and Jalen Mills have been healthy, and the defense is better with them. Derek Barnett and Fletcher Cox look like they're kind of taking that next step this season. They're starting to run the ball more. I think there's a lot of reason for confidence.
I thought we'd have a lot more people confident in the Birds today. That is a disappointing beginning.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you this. Bob, how do you feel about the Eagles in prime time?
Do you
like primetime games? Just from a fan's perspective.
No.
Forget you have to be here at 4 o'clock.
Yeah, that does play into it, though.
Heck with that.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, I do like it.
You do like it?
I prefer other times, but I like it still, yeah.
Trey, did you enjoy primetime football?
I did.
When you were playing, you enjoyed some fun primetime football? Well, here's the deal. So there's Monday Night Football tonight, and that's appropriate, being that's Monday. Big game, Seahawks visiting the 49ers, the undefeated 49ers. So if the 49ers win tonight,
mm-hmm.
Now here's how it works in the flex scheduling world of Sunday Night Football. They need 12 days notice. So if the 49ers win tonight, that means they'll obviously still be undefeated, and NBC will want to flex into a 49ers chance to still be undefeated on November 24th, when the Eagles are supposed to be playing in Sunday Night Football.
Yeah, San Fran plays Green Bay that day.
So that's a Green Bay Packer versus San Francisco 49er type of
event. Yeah, I see why they'd want to do that one.
They would do,
that's a good game.
They would want to do that game just a little bit. I think Fox has that game right now, so I don't know if there would be...
if Fox can protect it?
If Fox can protect it or not, but then sometimes...
But they might want to hold on to that for later in the season.
Exactly. Now, usually how this will work is there'll be a negotiating period. Lawyers of the networks get on the phone, and they'll try to bargain or, you know, haggle to get what they really want. But if NBC wants that game, they're going to get that game. Even before the flex schedule would go into effect a couple of years ago, I remember the league just said, yeah, NBC needs to get this game. I think it was an undefeated Broncos team with Peyton Manning and an undefeated Chiefs game, if I'm not mistaken. And then that ended up, even before the flex schedule went into effect, they ended up giving that game to NBC. And I think NBC forfeited the right to have first pick of a playoff game. So I think CBS had that negotiation period with NBC. So that's how it goes down. So in 12 days... The Sunday night football game, which is supposed to be the Eagles right now with the Seahawks, could actually be flexed out and actually go to a regular like 1 o'clock game, whatever it might be, with Sunday night football. With Sunday night football then going to cover Green Bay and San Francisco if San Francisco remains undefeated tonight in Monday night football. You follow me?
Barely, but yes. That was an awful lot.
Trey, would you enjoy the Eagles to stay in Sunday night football against the Seahawks?
It really doesn't matter to me.
How do you think it matters? How do you think it matters to the team?
It really doesn't matter.
It's whatever lights that fire.
Yeah.
So that's the implication for tonight. So if you want your Eagles to remain in primetime, root for the 49ers to lose.
Yeah.
That's basically how that works.
I'd rather them play a 1 o'clock game against Seattle.
Why is that? Flying across the country.
Yeah, I mean, you probably don't gain that much of an advantage because they have the bye week. So any advantage you have of them having, you know, a week of practice and then having to come cross country, I think you get, you know, you lose that advantage with the bye week with Seattle having it. But, yeah, I think an under-the-radar game against Seattle would probably be better for the Eagles than a truly hyped game.
I don't think
game.
We've ever played any of those games at 1 o'clock. I think we've
against
always
West
been
Coast teams?
4 o'clock.
Do they usually do that?
Yeah.
No, I never noticed that.
4 o'clock, there you go. Either way, it's not Sunday night.
As selfishly as I don't want it to stay in primetime, there is something special about Sunday night football.
Oh, definitely.
So, like, part of me is like, oh, that's going to suck. I'm going to have to sleep at the station in the conference room. But then part of me is like, give me the chimes. Give me the primetime.
Yeah, I thought it was a wild game last night, of course. Some great catch. You're watching these guys make catches for their quarterbacks.
It's something.
Left and right. And I'm just like, did we have one?
Did you catch that LSU-Alabama game on Saturday?
No, I didn't. No.
There was wide receivers all over that field, and I went, yeah, pretty much like four of these guys would be the Eagles' number one option.
You made a similar point last week. Like, any of those guys would be like, make you a play at the NFL level tomorrow.
Yeah.
J.J. Arthega. Whiteside. Let's get Philly J in D.C. What's up, Philly J?
First of all, how y'all doing? First of all, I wanted to say I'm tired of the primetime games. I'd rather have a 1 o'clock, 4 o'clock game. That way, you know what I'm saying? I don't know, just get it out of the way. You know what I'm saying? Like, instead of just waiting around all day, waiting for everybody to play their game, and then the spotlight is on us. I don't know. I'm sick of these nighttime games. Sick of these. I'm so glad the Sixers are off this West Coast road trip also.
Yeah, me too.
10 o'clock games and stuff like that.
I feel like my brain is fried. Between the daylight savings and then the Sixers being on the West Coast road trip, my brain is fried. And the Flyers starting out on the West Coast as well.
Oh, yeah. But the Sixers, I'm going to call again about them because you already know, I'm a big Sixer fan. I'm not really happy with them right now. But as far as Dallas's schedule, I kind of disagree. I think they got an easy schedule, too. I mean, they play Detroit this week, and Detroit's defense is horrible, and they ain't got no Matt Stafford. They got the Bills at home who are trash offensively. They got Chicago on the road, and Chicago's offense is horrendous. And they got the Rams who are, I mean, let's face it, the Rams ain't all that good either. And they got the Rams at home. I think both the Eagles and the Cowboys got easy schedules. I don't see Dallas with this daunting schedule. I mean, besides the Patriots, they got to play at New England. But to me, the rest of their games, at New England and at Philadelphia, they could win all those games easily.
Well, without Stafford, I mean, that's huge.
Yeah.
I mean,
Detroit's defense is horrible.
But, yeah, but you could, Philly J, seriously, if you looked at it and said, oh, Dallas has to go into Detroit, they're fighting for a playoff spot and they have a really hot quarterback, you know, there's a good way they could lose that game. But now, with Stafford being out, probably not.
I didn't see that. Detroit is just awful defensively. I mean, me, Bob, we could score against that defense, man. I mean, put Bob Cooney on one side, and I'd be the other receiver, and we'll score touchdowns against that defense.
I'll call the plays. You can do the running.
Philly J, here's what they're looking at. Thanks for the call, man. You got, again, at the Lions, as Bob just said, at Patriots, and then the Bills. Are the Bills coming back down to earth a little bit since the Bills took care of it?
And okay. That's a Thanksgiving game.
They have Josh Allen as quarterback. He's not very good.
No, he's not. And then they go at Chicago. They got to play at Chicago, which is an 8:20 game. That's December. And then you host the Rams. Then you go visit the Eagles, and then they host the Redskins. So I think we know that both the Eagles and the Cowboys are winning Week 17. So we know that. But it is going to come down to that second-to-last game of the season between the Eagles and the Cowboys. Eagles have to win that game, and then they have to win at the Giants. So it's a wild one, I get it, but it's going to be an interesting game, or interesting end of the season is how it's going to play out here. 610-632-0975. Hoping people are a little bit more optimistic about those Eagles. Coming up, we will talk about the 76ers and the weekend that was for both tenants of the Wells Fargo Center, the Sixers and the Flyers, wild and all sorts, and more cause for optimism when it comes to those Flyers. Time of the Fanatic is 641.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning. The Fanatic.
Coming up in 10 minutes, we're going to tell you how you can start the process of winning 76ers court level tickets. Trey, you were there.
I was.
Just yesterday.
Turn my mic on. My bad.
Just yesterday.
I was there.
Nice tickets from Rothman.
Awesome, amazing time.
Rothman Orthopedics hooking the people up.
Yeah. Good times.
They can. I was getting into it a little bit. I was getting on the refs.
Yeah.
It was pretty funny. You're so close. And there was one point Josh Richardson got called for a box out foul, like right in front of our face. Okay. And I had been watching Richardson on the play, and it was like perfect technical form of a box out, and he got called for the foul. And I went, "Come on, refs! What are perfect box outs not allowed anymore?"
Oh, good one.
Burn. And Mike Scott looked over at me and he pointed and he goes, "This guy knows what's up."
Yeah, he's like, yeah, that was a good point.
People on Twitter call us immature.
Yeah, yeah. Jeez.
But Mike Scott was like, yeah, what he said. Yeah. That was a good box out. What are you talking about? It was pretty funny. The seats are awesome.
Yeah, they are.
It is very gratifying whenever you catch a player or a ref's attention.
Yeah.
Like, it's amazing.
And they agree with you. You're like, you did the talking for them. You're like, yeah, that's right, buddy. I got this, Mike. Don't worry.
But even if it's the ref or player that, like, turns to you, and even if they, like, roll their eyes at you, like, for some reason, it's like, yeah, I did that. When I was, like, 14 years old, I had a member of the Hershey Bears call me an effing A. And I'll still never forget it. You know,
that's awesome.
One of the greatest moments of my life. Like, it was that great.
Remember the old Camden River Sharks over there?
Sure.
Yeah.
And so I took Bobby, my son Bobby, to the game. We were, you know, from
Jose Mesa end up playing for
them?
Oh, my
God. Yes. They had a lot of guys. Yeah. So a guy on the other team's about to go to bat, and my son Bobby looks at him and goes, "You're going to strike out." And the guy turns around and he goes, "I'll bet you a pizza I get a hit." And Bobby's like, okay. Like, it was the coolest thing ever.
What'd the guy do?
I think he popped out or something.
Did you get pizza?
We didn't.
Oh,
what a bum.
Yeah,
what a jerk.
Still owes us.
Yeah, still owes us. Yeah.
Jamie yells at the people while they're shooting free throws.
Yeah, a couple of the Hornets were on the line. I started going, "Noonan! Noonan!" And they kept making them. And I was like, "Trey, my heckling isn't working here."
Weak, man.
Were you embarrassed, Trey?
No, it was good.
Oh, okay. I had the kids involved. We were having a good time. This is for the kids, Bob.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No, I think.
Because you're such an adult.
You can't be sitting next to an adult at the time, but, you know, it's okay. You know,
Jamie's like, "Trey, hold my drink while I yell at the ref."
Seventh grader's like, "This guy's immature." Grow up, dude. But anyway, the Sixers had some. They won yesterday. It was a rough ending to the game. They almost blew another lead, and the things got kind of nervous a little bit. Things got toit, if you know what I'm saying. But the game Friday night was just inexcusable. Mm. And it really leaves me questioning what the heck's going on with Joel Embiid. And I referenced it at the top of the show. He was trying to slow things down early in the fourth quarter, only for a couple of possessions later to shoot a three with, I believe it was 10 or 15 seconds left on the shot clock, and he airballed it. And it was like, slow it down to shooting a three at that time didn't make any sense. They had bad shots, bad turnovers, virtually no defense, especially when it came to the pick and roll. And Joel Embiid was under the opposing basket on the defensive end of the floor when a fast break went the other way, only to come back with Joel Embiid still under. He never left the paint of the opponent. Now, true, you would expect your team to be able to finish off a layup, but whatever, it didn't happen. You weren't there to help. And he just stayed in the opposing paint on the defensive end. Like, never ran the length of the court. And I'm going, this guy's exhausted. Goes to the foul line. Misses his free throws, which is something we're not used to seeing with Joel Embiid. Yeah. And then the last play of the game, just the sugar on top. This is not why they lost. Was it the most crucial play of the game? Yes, it was, because the game was on the line. But the fact that they had no business winning that game with how they played in that fourth quarter anyway, and obviously they did not win the game. And Joker, who looks like he is a lot more out of shape than Joel Embiid. Now the technical term is fat.
Yeah, he's fat.
He looks that.
He looks like he's back to chugging 3 liters of Coca-Cola a day. Because that's what I looked it up. When he first got to America, he drank 3 liters of Coke a day. And the Nuggets had to, you know, kind of hone him in and get him under the sports science world. He looks like he's back on the hard stuff.
So, like, oh man, my God, this is amazing!
Amazing!
I have money. I can buy all the Coca-Cola I want.
Yeah. Look at this. Look at my refrigerator. You see how this...
so Shirley Temple's...
Levels and levels of Coca-Cola. Have the clear Coca-Cola, cherry Coca-Cola. Zero Coca-Cola. I have all of this Coca-Cola.
Was it caffeine-free?
In cans. I have them in plastic bottles. Glass bottles.
Was it diet?
Nah, just Coca-Cola. Just
straight up.
Coca-Cola.
Red label.
Yes.
Coca-Cola.
Yes. Cherry.
Yeah, he looks like he found the Coca-Cola again this offseason.
That level right there, that's the cherry.
Well, despite all that, he knocks down the game winner for the Nuggets. The fat guy. All right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It is fat guy fall.
Good old.
And he only had one turnover. I think he had, what it was, 20-some points, only one turnover.
Mm-hmm.
Then you go back and you look at Embiid, what he had, 17 points. Who was that, 8 to 10
turnovers? That was an 8
turnovers?
Spot.
Yeah,
that was an 8 spot, yeah.
Not a good ending.
No.
So Tubby over there makes the game-winning three, right?
That's fine to call him that.
Yeah, that's fine. He's out of market. So Tubby makes the game winner, and Joel Embiid is looking exhausted. Now, the last play of the game, again, was the most crucial play of the game. But like I said, the Sixers had no business winning that one anyway because of how they played overall in that fourth quarter, and blowing a 21-point lead is historic for that franchise. But they don't win, and it's an embarrassing loss, obviously. But the last play of the game, as I said earlier, it was almost impressive that the Sixers, that the referees in that final play, not only got the call wrong, but essentially made two wrong calls. One would have been a non-call on just two big men trying to fight it out under the basket Friday night.
Yeah.
And then the other one would have been that Jokic was actually hooking Joel Embiid. And then he flopped when JoJo gave him just a little bit of a forearm shiver.
Well, he baited him. I mean, he did exactly what he was supposed to do. He baited him, made it look like he was going to push him. And also, too, because Brett Brown challenged the one particular call where Embiid did foul, and Embiid is like, challenge it.
Right.
Then he challenged it, and then now you don't have that challenge left for when the guy actually flopped.
Mm-hmm.
So
I will give credit to Jokic for this. Before that play, he was getting the ref's attention. Like, he flopped before the ball was even inbound. Like, the ref still had the ball in his hands, getting ready to give it. Was it Richardson who inbounded it?
Mm-hmm.
Can't think of who it was. But the ref still had the ball in his hands before he even gave it to, I think it was Richardson. And Jokic is already flopping in front of Joel Embiid to get the ref's attention. And the ref walked up and was like, hey, watch it. And then you saw the flop.
You know what I thought of, too? And, Mark, you were a referee for a time, so maybe you can, comment on this. But when there's a play to be called, and it's a tough play in a tough situation, as that was, as a referee, as a coach, whatever it may be, I lean towards the smarter player. I really do. Like, my mind goes to, and you might do it subconsciously, whatever it may be, but Jokic is a really smart player. That's what makes him good. And you guys talk about it. He's doughy. He doesn't look like an NBA. He's not, you know, doesn't look particularly strong or fast or any of that. He gets by with great backdoor passes, smart play. If I'm a ref, Embiid's too, he's probably stupid enough to foul there. I'm going to call it on him. Like, it's something that comes, because Joel Embiid is not a smart player.
No.
And that night, he was at his dumb worst, if that makes sense. He was at his best dumb. Let's put it that way.
His least intelligent.
He was at his best dumb on Friday.
I was going to say, that's a really difficult way to say he was at his dumbest.
Yeah.
Like that's a really polite way of not saying he was at his dumbest.
But that came into my mind right away. I would have given the foul to Embiid probably, too.
Yeah, I mean, look, I like reffed high school, right? And like some like college summer league. Right. But but nonetheless.
You know the power.
Yeah, you do.
Is that the power of the whistle?
You can control. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, right.
It's shiny.
97.5 The Fanatic.